The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
You know, I am your host. I am here. I've been listening to that music for, over 20 years now. I love it. I love what Waking Up in America does for me. We know that we do radio for our listeners. We also do it for ourselves because it keeps us in a wonderful state of consciousness to be participating and actively moving in the world. You are listening to Waking Up in America, and we've been on the air since 1987, creating dynamic radio dialogues on life in America today and issues that matter. We really thank our sponsors, Emergency Management Solutions, also known as EMS Global One, Sir Jason Winterty, LA Lifestyle, Leo Delgado, Tad Patterson, and OMG Protandem, the product that has just really rejuvenated my life. C.W. Wright is our producer and vice president. Thank you, C.W. Maybe you'd like to give a little plug to our two of our favorite sponsors, LA Lifestyle and Sir Guy. Oh, yeah, Sir Jason.
You know, I'm supposed to be getting his new book here, and it hasn't arrived yet. But as soon as it does, I promise you, we will have his son on the air to give us some updates directly from the Sir Winter's camp directly. But,
wow.
You know, it's time. It's getting cooler outside, and there's nothing like a calming, hot Sir Jason Winter's tea. Especially
you
like
know. You've got an echo, my friend. Do you know that?
I see. I mentioned that before we got started. I heard an echo.
Why don't you... I'm going to send our announcer away temporarily and then invite him back because...
Maybe he can correct
we need to that. Drop your shadow.
Yeah, we don't need the echo. Echo.
No. Echo. Ooh, there seems to be other interference, too. While he's dropping off and calling back, I will give you a little breaking news today. I started thumbing through the catalogs, okay? And the catalogs for Christmas have a couple of things that really get me crazy. Okay, they're now selling a tired doll. And why it makes me crazy is that I realize that these catalogs are actually reflecting what's occurring for people. And when Walmart and the rest of the stores feel as though they need to put a tired doll out for kids, I think that's pretty sad. I thought that was really actually majorly sad until I found out that the biggest growing costume industry in the entire country is zombies. So what does that say about us when we want more and more to be zombies, you know, which is dead people, ghouls, things of that nature? It's that to me reflects how a lot of the consciousness in America is feeling. And Waking Up in America, we actually have a commitment to life and progress and love, accomplishment, things of that nature. And you know what? For 25 years it's been working, and I think it will continue to work. And with friends like CW and Kelby Smith will be showing up at some point in the show today. He's on a very busy schedule. Ken Cousins, our puzzler, is actually out doing work on the Republic. He's running for governor of the Republic of California, and I voted for him, I tell you. He's a fine man. And Dr. Rutledge is traveling with his film, $3 Billion and Counting, and besides having people in the world look really good, which is his Better Than LiPo program, he has a commitment to people understanding that DDT is actually a contribution that it was actually eradicated from our different third countries because of the fact that it actually worked. And not to be paranoid, because I'm not, this isn't about paranoia, there has actually been a plan to let the impoverished people of the world die, and one of the great ways to knock them out is malaria. And one of the things that stops malaria is actually DDT, and Dr. Rutledge is aware of this, and he's put a lot of his own self into producing a film that talks about this, so you should check his website, 3 billion and counting. The guy has a lot of other talents as well, and we'll find out more about what he's up to. C.W. Wright, who's actually the Vice President of the Republic for the United States of America, he has a lot of different jobs that he does. We had actually expected to have with us today Steve Colton and Andrea Arlington of the ARF Foundation, A-A-A-R-F, and you can visit our website at wakingupinamerica.com, and you can check that out. And CW, are you back?
I'm here.
Did you get a chance to write the paper for them?
I have not finished the paper yet.
Okay, so what we
need to talk to them off air on a couple of things.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. But what's happened is, we'll give you a thumbnail. I rescued a little border collie that had been very badly abused, and Steve was my partner in doing this, and it's been quite a handful, this little doggy. And Steve has actually placed over 7,000 dogs, and Andrea has helped him, okay? And what happened was that the city of Lancaster decided not to follow the rules and did quite a bit to actually undermine Steve. And I'm not quite sure of the politics behind it, but anybody that listens to the story knows it's off, especially when the city of Lancaster didn't even follow their own rules. Now, CW's wife, Carol, she's on with us today, and she actually helped us. She gave us some information about unincorporated areas. And, Carol, I was wondering if there's anything that you wanted to contribute as far as what you know about what we're up to about getting these dogs back that were confiscated actually illegally from Steve. And thank you for pointing that out, because Andrea actually found documentation that said that he was allowed 6 dogs and not 3. So he's put on probation for something that wasn't even wrong in the first place.
Exactly, and this is what they do. They harass people that rescue dogs, because basically I don't think these people like animals.
Huh. So, that's a kind of an interesting thought.
Yeah. I've been over to the pound, where they pick the animals up, and they're not nice people, most of them. I mean, there are some, obviously, but they don't even care. They throw the food down, and they don't walk them very often, and I don't know.
Well, the whole thing about all of this, and Kelby just showed up. I saw him on the radar. So, Kelby, welcome aboard. Our guest that we were expecting from ARF are not here, and I'm not sure exactly why they're not here, Kelby, but that was Carol talking, and what we're discussing is the fact that Lancaster Animal Control confiscated illegally dogs, and now they're actually selling them. So the whole thing just gets messier and messier, and CW is actually helping write a paper on it, and I was wondering if you had any ideas on this.
Are you talking to me, Dr. Bell?
I was.
Well,
absolutely, I was.
I'm not sure what Kelby knows about this, Dr. Bell. He wasn't with us last week.
I know, and yeah. I just thought we'd recreate the conversation because I know we also have new listeners this week, too.
Okay. So. Are we talking about the code enforcement issue pertaining to the dogs?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
In an unincorporated area, too, by the way. I don't think they even have the right to do what they've done.
Well, I think about 100 people need to come down with the rangers and go kick their front doors in and unlock all their animals and bring them back over to the house.
I'm all for that.
You're all for that?
Yeah, I think it's just a money-making business for these, impounds, and that's all they're interested in.
Didn't you say, Dr. Val, they were, or Carol, that they were allowed to have six dogs?
Yeah.
Okay, now,
but he's on probation for having had three. And here's the rest of the story, folks. The guy is partially blind, and he hires somebody to drive his dogs and him over to Petco, where he's been going every weekend for years. He drives all the way in from Lancaster to Petco in the San Fernando Valley on Ventura Boulevard, and he's been giving away these dogs for years. You know, they're part of an adoption program, and he's just the most loving human being I've ever seen. Before he gave me Sarah, he kissed her, and he told her that she was going to a better place. And this man's whole life is about giving these dogs good homes. So when Lancaster Animal Control came in and confiscated his dogs, they said that the reason they had done that was that he had broken probation. Well, he was put on probation for having more than three dogs at his home. And in an unincorporated area, there actually is no limit, even though the city of Lancaster put in a limit of six. So his probation was bogus in the first place.
I'd like to add something here.
Yeah.
When it's related to dogs, this is the part that I need to talk to him. The city of Lancaster allows six. L.A. County allows three dogs. Any other domestic animal is unlimited. If you need... want more than three dogs, you need permits. Now, the question we have, if they're in an unincorporated area, how come they're operating under Lancaster rules? Or are they? Are they trying to? I'm not sure. But we need to make sure what laws that they really have to be under, and we approach it from that direction.
Well, here's the point. You know what? When you told Andrea that last week, she went and looked it up, and the rule in Lancaster isn't three. It's actually six.
Well, that's because she lives in an unincorporated area, right?
Right.
Well, the unincorporated area...
How come Lancaster rules apply then if it's unincorporated?
Well, I don't think they do.
I don't think they do either. And even if they did, what in the heck are they doing this for, especially when they're giving away 5,000 dogs this month because they don't have enough room for them?
This is the other problem. I mean, there's got to be a little... I know we say everybody's got to follow the letter of the law, but you have an individual here who's devoted their entire life to the rescue of animals. Why there's some sort of probation here, I don't know.
The other thing is, though, that I didn't tell the listeners yet, is that Steve's driver quit on him. She drove him home... quit on him because she didn't have a valid driver's license, told him that, walked off and left him, he who cannot drive, and even though the animal control department knew that, they still took all the dogs and told him he'd never see them again.
Yeah, so he was stuck, what's he to do? Let him turn him loose and set him free? He took him into a loving home, fed them, loved them, until he could get him to his kennel, which was, just 2 or 3 days later, because
yeah.
He did not have transportation.
Yeah.
And for to be, I mean...
They're being vindictive.
He's being treated like a criminal.
Yeah, I like the word criminal. I think that's exactly how they're treating him, is like a criminal.
Yeah, it's not. I mean... the world needs more people like him that's loving and caring, whether it be for pets or people or whatever. We need people like him. Authorities.
Yeah, we do.
Speak alone. And,
so
and
let me tell him where to go,
it's more
CW.
It's important for them to go after than someone that's trying to take care of the animals.
Yeah. Check out our website at wakingupinamerica.com, guys. And underneath there, you'll see ARRF.weebly.com, and go on over there and sign a petition. Also, call Andrea, okay? Find out what the telephone number is for these bosses that are doing this, and bug the heck out of them. Kelby, can we organize like 10 or 15 people to start calling, or how do we, I know you, can you, we don't need to kick down a door necessarily, Kelby, can we just have the Rangers all call?
You just need to have a really good letter put into place talking about all the constitutional right that they violated, show them a certified copy of their own oath, and scare the crap out of them with the criminal affidavits that you write against them for stealing dogs and violating your due process of law and violating your constitutional rights, and you watch what they do.
See how good he is? Do you see why I love this man so much? Don't you think this is slick, CW, between the two of you?
It is. I would also employ the efforts of PETA to help out as well.
Now, PETA is?
PETA is the people for the ethical treatment of animals. Not animals.
Animals. Is an anima the soul or spirit of something?
Yeah. Something like that. People.
So you weren't that far off.
Animals.
Yeah.
People for the ethical treatment of animals. That's PETA. And I'm bet they could get a lot of mileage using them as well.
Carol, I just wondered if Carol could help with this too.
I could, but the thing. Lancaster is a long way. Otherwise, I would have gotten people up there.
I just think people calling. I don't think even if somebody in Europe hears the program and calls in.
Yeah,
let's organize something and do this, because Waking Up in America isn't just about complaining about something. It's actually taking action and creating something. And over the years, we've pulled off some good stuff. And Kelby's got some good stuff for you, too, that we'll be talking about after the half hour, but I wanted to hear his voice on this. So what are your thoughts here, CW?
Well, I think we summed it up nicely with what Kelby said. You get the letter placed appropriately, the written message placed appropriately. You get the people involved. Then you get authorities that are friendly, like PETA, involved.
That's good.
You'll get results. They will start feeling pressure, and you will get results. And I think between those three or four things, Steve and Andrea will have a much easier battle. This battle is going to continue for them. I can tell you that already. It's not going to go away overnight.
It's so frustrating. If people want to ask a question, CW, while we're on the air, they should send me an email at val@wakingupatamerica.com, and I'll actually ask CW or Carol or Kelby, or you can ask me if there's something you want to know. We'll get you that information, val@wakingupatamerica.com.
Cool.
So, did you hear the conversation that I had while you were going off and coming back on about zombies and tire dolls being sold for Christmas?
I heard it briefly, and I'm shocked to see the direction our parents are allowing children to start thinking.
The parents, honey. It's the toy manufacturers that are doing this.
Well, who's the toy manufacturers if it's not the parents?
Well, it's the companies that have sent their business to. There's two conversations going on. One of them is they sent their business to China, right? That's where the toys are all being manufactured. They said the test of the year is to find out if you can even find a Christmas toy that was made in the U.S. No, this is not parents asking for these dolls. This is toy manufacturers deciding that this is what people want.
Well, I understand that, but parents are buying them. Children aren't buying them.
I don't think they are. I haven't seen them buying them. I'm just saying that they're offered to them.
Yeah, well, the parents are buying them before the kids.
Are they?
The kids don't have the money to go out and buy them.
Well, I don't know that the parents are buying tired dolls and zombie dolls. I'll tell you what they are buying. They're buying the zombie outfits, which tells me that they feel like zombies, and therefore they're dressing like zombies.
Well,
so I'm saying that with what Kelby's got to say and you've got to say and what we're up to with the Republic in Carol's position, what she stands for, Carol is a woman of action. So is CW, so am I, so is Rutledge, so is Ken Cousins. I mean, that's why the two of them aren't here today. They're in action on different topics. So here's the possibility here. We have emergency management kits. We should have them in our cars. CW manages that. Also, you've been involved in foreign aid, things of that nature. And you're working with that with your emergency management solutions, which is your company, right?
Yes.
So get that this is a very inaction committee. Also, when I talked to Kelby, he said he's got some really good news about what's going on in the Republic, and I was wondering if you could share that with us, Kelby.
You know, mainly, Dr. Val, we're making huge steps on knowing who we are and having a clear understanding of what our rights are, how to stay above that line and separate ourselves from the de facto and stay in the de jure by being under God and using the Constitution to our asset and helping them understand the oaths of office that they're taking. As a matter of fact, in the next few days, we're meeting with some very important people at an undisclosed location that's going to put together a training, hopefully seminar, that will allow for people to know how to walk into any court, any venue, and turn it from that Article One, that equity court, into an Article Three court, where the judge is bound to uphold your constitutional rights, where you are the administrator in the action and no longer the trustee, and where you make the decision and you put forth the outcome of your own case by demanding the jurisdiction and demanding the authority to be under the oath that they have taken. If they dishonor that oath, we're teaching people through guys like Fred Gutierrez, Tim, CW, David Jackson, Ken, and to how and what to say and what paperwork to file to impeach that judge, remand that judge, pull the judge off the bench. And you watch how quick these judges are going to start honoring those of office, because if they don't, boom.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Do you know Daniel DeLuca?
Sure do.
Well, he's been a busy boy. He got together with Barb Anderson, and he showed up in court, and he read this particular document. There is a fundamental right to an impartial tribunal, and a biased judge robs a party of due process of law. I hereby serve you written notice by precipe that all judges in the state of California are disqualified for a proven conflict of interest that exists by the fact that each judge has an interest in all cases involving national banks, bank instruments, and bank collections of any kind, inclusive of this case, nunk-pro-tunk, as stated therein and incorporated here, by reference in its entirety. You now have actual notice that you have no authority and no consent by me to commit unlawful acts against me or people similarly situated. Any actions hereafter by you shall be in your choice in action with your full responsibility, establishing black and white proof of your participation in the fraud perpetuated by the bank system against the people, and therefore your corruption, and shall be accepted by us as your admission of said corruption. He went into court and read it. And the judge recused himself.
No, the judge went on, and he didn't do anything other than continue on as if Daniel said nothing after Daniel walked out of the courtroom.
Really? I had heard something different. But does this stand?
Yeah, there's probably an extra step that maybe he did or didn't do of actually doing an impeachment order down to clerk of the court to pull that judge off. And maybe he should have established who his jurisdictional authority before he walked in the court with properly filed paperwork. What I'm learning is our words mean nothing on it for the record, but our written word is everything. And that's why many times you don't need to say anything except I stand on my paperwork, and they try to recommit you. It's like the word understand. You read Webster's 1913 edition. The word understand means to stand under the jurisdiction of the person that's asking you, do you understand?
So if you don't understand, you're in a better position.
If you don't understand, you can just say, well, sir, if you're asking me if I comprehend these documents, I do. But I do not stand under your jurisdiction whatsoever. That's the first thing that they try to get you to do. The second thing, well, the bottom line is it's the establishment of the paperwork and who you are, the before you ever walk into that court is everything. And then what you do, they'll still railroad you. You'll impeach them, and they'll still act like they're still on the stand. But you've set forth I know who I am, and I'm going to get it on the record, and it's going to end up on your permanent record unless you do what I tell you to do. And they understand that, so they'll work to try to figure out how to stay on that stand and give you what you need.
Does this work with Haynes versus Kerner, or is that helpful at all in this?
To me, yes and no, because that's a submission to the authority of the jurisdiction of that judge from the standpoint that you're invoking Haynes versus Kerner and asking them to explain certain things to you. Simple aspect of saying, I do not understand. Let me ask a question, Dr. Val. If they cannot move forward in a case, what's going to happen? If you never understand and you never plead, what's going to happen?
Who's talking in the background, please?
Hang on.
Thank you, Star 6. And what were you saying?
I was simply saying if you're standing before a judge in a matter and the first thing you need to do is establish the fact that they are going to honor your constitutional rights. I've heard many things. I'm doing a lot of investigation on this right now, but the main thing that I'm hearing is you get a copy of the certified copy of their oath, take their oath on and for the record. You ask them to repeat their oath. If they are not willing to repeat their oath, that absolutely is a violation of your due process of law. Any violation of your due process of law is a constitutional violation, and it's room for immediate dismissal. You would then put their certified copy of the oath on and for the record. You can accept it for value and submit it to the record of the court, and they're toast. You then dismiss your case because you are the administrator in the action, and you find no fault in yourself, obviously.
So where do you get a copy of their oath?
Clerk of the court. They'll tell you they don't keep copies of their oath, but they absolutely have them. Go down to the main clerk's office of the building. Sometimes in California, they're trying to hide them, but I'm actually on my way down to go get a couple of them right now, some federal judges here in Santa Ana.
So if they tell you they don't have them, you'll just say keep looking?
No, I'm going to tell them that I'm going to pull a copy of the Constitution out, and I'm going to read them where it says that they are trying to conceal due process of law, which is my right. They are going to be in violation and a felon and a $10,000 fine, and I'm going to ask you one more time, if you don't give me a certified copy of that judge's oath, you're going to be a contributing participant. I will file a criminal affidavit against you as well.
And part of the fun of all of this, folks, is, Kelby, how tall are you as well?
I'm 6'4", and I weigh 292 pounds.
So when a 6'4", 292-pound just looks down and laughs on you, his odds are good. I want to congratulate you on all of the physical attributes that you brought into this lifetime. CW, are you there?
I am here. I'm just a hair over 6 foot, and I'm at 290 myself.
I think we should take you and Kelby and send you down. I think Derek, who's in charge of animal control in Lancaster, I think he's in Long Beach. Maybe you guys would like to go over and visit Derek and give him the opportunity to back off and say, look, here's our constitutional rights. You know, I would imagine that if you both of you guys showed up in my office, I would think God had sent the angels. You like it? I can hear you chuckling a little.
It could work, but it also could backfire.
With your sweetness, the fact that you both are such sweet-spoken men of God, that would backfire? How could it backfire?
Well, you never know. You always got Mr. Murphy around the corner waiting to raise his ugly head, and we must always be prepared and aware of anything that could go wrong and take steps to stay away from it. But getting back to Kelby real quick and what he's talking about, there's also, along those lines, you continue with what Kelby was stating, you can set the stage where you can fire the judge off the bench.
Really?
And And once he's fired, you can dismiss that judge. And once the judge is dismissed, the bench has been vacated. You now have the ability to go on the record and dismiss the case.
Because you're the judge?
You're the judge.
OMG.
Well, that's the funny thing, as CW's talking about, you're going to actually have judges that will not believe what you just did because they don't understand the law. As a matter of fact, I've learned as of recent that judges will confer with judges and say, can he really do this? And the reality is yes, you can. And the next step is, you know, it's either a writ of mandamus coupled with an impeachment order. And if that judge doesn't recuse himself off that bench, you can literally have him arrested. If the marshals, if you have the proper paperwork, the marshals must follow the orders of the people, period. That's all it is. It's proper paperwork.
That's amazing. It's just amazing. You know, it's really, I was just looking for it. Sherry Benson sent me something right now while we're talking about all of this. Now, this isn't just about, what is a bunch of pictures, okay? Like what a herd of cows looks like, what a flock of chickens looks like, and it has all the different names for the different groups. A school of fish, a gaggle of geese. Then we get down here, and I'm scanning this to find out what she wants to know. I'm going down here. Later it says, it's got a picture of a bunch of baboons. Do you know what they're called? Baboons, a group of baboons?
I certainly do. They are called a congress.
I don't know what the judges are called, but there's a picture of a bunch of baboons called a congress. I thought that was cute. A congress of baboons, and then right below that is a really good picture of a certain room in Washington, D.C. We don't have any of the bench here. I don't know what they call. Do they call them a gaggle of judges? I don't know how that works. And, of course, we don't want to insult our friends. You know, one of the things that's been happening, all of you guys, is that I've been enrolled in the Shift Foundation's 16-week Peace Ambassador course because I'm the Peace Ambassador to the UN along with Jim Fitzgerald. And we had Arun Gandhi talking last week, guys, and he was talking about his grandfather, and one of the things that he said was is that his grandfather had no enemies in the world. All he had were misguided. He had friends and misguided friends. So that meant something to me. And as chair of Science, Peace, and Technology Committee for the House of Representatives here in the Republic, I actually have been discovering since I've been taking this Peace Ambassadors course that peace is actually a science and you can actually learn it. And Gandhi was giving us some tips on how to do that. One of them is one of the things that he says is what we need to do is actually visualize. We need to actually hold powerful thoughts because we actually draw things to us by what it is that we think. So his grandfather's position was that no man or woman was his enemy. They were his friends. They were either close friends or misguided close friends, that kind of thing. So Arun Gandhi, his grandson, actually suggests to CW that what we do is practice visualizing something that we really love for a minute every day, and I've been doing that.
Well, that's a very good idea. But one of the things that Gandhi did more than anything, he never, ever, and I can say this negative or positive, so I'll say both ways. He never disrespected anybody. He had the utmost respect for everybody. And if you think about it, the only way you can really create an enemy is if you disrespect them. And now a lot of things can cause that disrespect, whether it's miscommunications or misunderstandings or something.
Or just bad actions on somebody else's part.
But he was clear all the time. He never got angry with anybody. He respected, never disrespected anybody. He respected everybody. And because of those actions, the way he dealt with people, that's why he had no enemies. And if we could just grasp that, every person in this world grasp that, nobody would be enemies. Nobody.
It's true. You know, I should probably mention that I just put the quote from Albert Einstein on the website, and it's about what it is to be a human being. And I think you'll like this quote. I've actually put it on the website under the sign up for alert CW. I don't think you knew that. I had it just put up yesterday. It's really cool. So go over to wakingupinamerica.com and you'll see the quote under sign up for the alerts, a human being is, and it's a quote from Albert Einstein that you'll like. Just below that, you'll see the Shift Network. And if you want to find out more about the Peace Ambassadors Program and the rest of the stuff that they're doing, these guys are a class act. With there are 200 people worldwide in my Peace Ambassadors group, and I look forward to it. Underneath it, you can see the link to Protandim, and Protandim is an outstanding substance. good old Dr. Norman there, that I've been using. Thank you, Viv Gwynn. She gave me this for my birthday, my 71st birthday, and I tell you, I was playing racquetball at 5:30 this morning with my girlfriend Paula, and she goes, "I just watch you get better every week." And now Paula, who didn't want to hear anything about Protandim, she wants to know about it. So, also we have LA Lifestyle just below that. We have the link to Sir Jason Winter's Tea. We also have the link to Marketing with the Stars, which is really top-notch good stuff for getting mailings out at a reasonable price. You buy a group of them, and you can do email mailings to about 100,000 people for about 20, 30 bucks, something like that, which is terrific. Roberto's Bungalows, if you want to run away and go to Mexico, the Whole Person Calendar. We also have Tad Patterson's Tim Turner Seminars. He has a complete secure party process. This guy has done outstanding work putting people together. We have Leo Delgado. Leo Delgado actually stops sales. He saved my house a couple of times, and I totally love it. So I know that you've been working with mortgages too, Kelby, and I wondered if you could tell our listeners what's happening with that. Are you there? Oh, he thought we were done with him.
I'm looking for the mute button. Sorry about that, Dr. Val.
I thought you were done and you had escaped, but you have not. Thank you so much for still being here.
Yeah, no problem. Absolutely. I think the next step, though, is just to set off the debt, not just stop the foreclosures, but to discharge lawfully all the debt. And we have a mechanism that is working that we are utilizing right now to do that. We have, in this last month, in our hands, 4 reconveyances on homes, a couple of cars, lien releases from the IRS for over $500,000 in discharged IRS liens. So the point is, it's not just stopping the foreclosures, it's and going into lawful remedy and administrative remedy and court remedy. It's pay them with their filthy lucre, and we can do that now. As a matter of fact, if you don't mind, I'll make a quick announcement trying to get
Please.
Information into people. There's information. If you want to grab a pen and a piece of paper right now, send a self-addressed stamped envelope that can hold a DVD with $5 in stamps on it for priority mail. Set it to P.O. Box 3611, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Please, please, if you can, there's many people. I've spent personally over $3,000 in the last 3 weeks in notarizations, stamps, the different stuff that it takes, all the paperwork to get stuff done for people. There's people that are losing their homes and do not have a dime to their name. If you can send only $5 extra as a donation, 10, 20, 100, anything you can do, it's appreciated. If you have a severe thing happening, write a little note, put a little note in there, mind your name, your phone number. We're not charging anything. We're not asking to contract with you. If you have a serious need and it's imminent, we will help you. We will personally discharge your debt, no strings attached.
What does that mean, personally discharge your debt?
We'll use our instrument to set off their debt with their lender.
Are we talking houses, credit cards, or everything?
I'm talking how, yeah, everything works, but mainly your home, your car, your IRS liens, your state franchise tax board stuff, anything like that. We have a mechanism that is absolutely working, and starting in the 10th of December, we have a registered seminar. I think the cost of the seminar is 25 whopping dollars. It's going to be in Beaumont, and you're going to get every tool you need. What I will send you in the mail will give you all the tools you'll need. That you want to go to the seminar to see this guy. This guy's the most amazing seminar I have ever seen.
Who is it?
His name is Fred Gutierrez, and they know what they're doing. I'm excited to say, and one thing that people need to understand, I'm going to end it with this. Go crack a Black's Law 5th and 6th edition. It's in both of them. Go look at the word account, and go look at the word closed account. And this is what it basically says. Closed account is where no other addition or subtraction can be made on either side, but will remain open for the purpose of set-off.
What does that mean?
Then you go look at the word set-off. It's discharging debt. In this monetary system that we have, where there is no money, it's only transferring digits from one party to another, literally. So when you are setting off debt using a private closed account, you are tapping the system that is needed to set off your personal debt. You cannot purchase anything. You can only set off debt. And it works 100% of the time.
I'll be right over, Kelby. You said P.O. Box 3611, Costa Mesa, California, 92628, right? With $5?
Correct.
You didn't mention who it should be sent to.
Just me, Kelby.
Kelby Smith?
Yeah, put a $5 self-addressed stamped envelope that can hold a CD, okay? And put any donation you feel God's put on your heart. And if you have an imminent need, put down what's going on, send a quick email. We have a team of guys that are working on it. As a matter of fact, we just did another $2 or $3 million today, and we're leaving the notary right now, and we're going to get the some stuff to...
So Diane lost her home. They moved her out. Can it still be done for her?
Once the sale's been done, the person that owns the home, it's an REO. It's real estate owned. The bank owns the home, so there's no longer... a debt instrument to be set off theoretically because they cash in against their insurance for the loss of that debt.
There's a different remedy at that place.
What'd you say, CW?
There would be a different remedy at that point if it went that far.
Okay, because I want to know how to help Diane right now.
Diane did help herself. She absolutely did help herself. She accepted the deed and got it recorded. That title is clouded. Now she needs to work on a lawsuit to get back into that property.
Can't she just go change the locks and go back in?
No. There was a lawful, unlawful detainer order by a judge, and you either adhere to it or you go to jail. Yeah, you don't play that game.
You just said something really interesting. You said she got back the deed. You want to explain that?
There's a process in California nationwide called accepting the deed. This is very interesting, and I really am surprised at myself. I didn't see this before. Anybody can go to YouTube and look for Rob Rider, R-I-D-E-R, accepting the deed. It's all over YouTube. This guy has a system and a method of getting what's called the grant deed or the warranty deed. So when you buy a house, the seller of the house gives you the grant deed on the property. Now, I don't want to get into all the mechanics of title and how that works, but a contract works this way. A contract has an offer, it has an acceptance, it has consideration, it has performance. When you buy a house and there's a grant deed or warranty deed given on that house, there is a grantor signature only on the grant deed. Now, that is fraud in essence. It's not clear fraud. It's just basically there's no acceptance of that grant deed on that contract. The second that you go in and accept that grant deed, you are going back on title to that point of when that grant deed was recorded. Anything subsequent to that becomes clouded. And it's an amazing, amazing process. I personally have verified it's stopping many, many foreclosures. And there's another step beyond that to get clear title. But once you've accepted that grant deed and you stop the foreclosure, go to this seminar, get a copy of this paperwork. I could shoot it to you. And you absolutely will have the remedy in your hands to set off the debt and permanently be debt-free.
Well, let me tell you, one of the things that Debbie Ringchop, Senator Ringchop, was telling me is that that paperwork is being accepted in certain counties in Los Angeles County, where I happen to live, that they're refusing it. Have you heard anything about that?
I have. I have. And listen, here's the bottom line. If you walk in and explain to them in Article 6 of the United States Constitution, it says the Constitution is the supreme law on the land, period. And the laws of the United States, which are what? The laws that Congress provides, and what else? Treaties. That's what it says. There is no other law. As a matter of fact, it clearly states that any state law, like a code, a motor vehicle code, or state code, whatever, any state law is not withstanding. Go read the Constitution, Article 6. Now, point is, when you walk in and you get that person's oath, you ask for their oath of office, they, by law, have to recite their oath of office to you on the spot. If they do not provide you with a copy of their oath of office, you get a certified copy of their oath, and you present it to them and accept it in front of them and in front of witnesses. And you read to them where in the Constitution it says this stuff, that they will be in violation because they all take an oath to the Constitution. The Constitution is clear about not concealing. It's very clear. Title 18 is clear about not concealing public information. I don't care what their state law is. There is no more supreme law than the Constitution. And if they violate that because they've already taken an oath, a public oath to uphold the Constitution. If they violate it, it's a $10,000 fine and it's a felony. They will lose their bond, period. So it's time for people to start understanding the Constitution and what their rights are and get off their butts and file criminal affidavits against these people and the fact that they are violating their oaths and not performing the duty that they've been required to do.
I love it. Send me an email at val@wakingupinamerica.com if you want more information on this. CW, Carol, any comments here?
I don't have any right now. I think that if we were just to stop with what Kelby said, that's a lot to digest, but a good deal of information needs to be reviewed and adhered to. What Kelby has mentioned works. If you would like to have more information, send that, follow through with his request and send the stamped self-addressed envelope, that whole CD to him. And if you'd like to learn more, be prepared to go to the seminar at the date that was listed.
You know, I actually just zips right over to republicforTheUnitedStates.org. Freedom is our right. I want to send you all there. I want to tell you that we're all members of the Republic, and you can tell we've all been busy little bees reclaiming the constitutional rights and reclaiming our United States of America, lowercase u. RepublicforTheUnitedStatesOfAmerica.org. Check it out. Get our message from leadership. Our president just spoke to us last night. If you want to get involved, we're not politicians. Is it okay to say patriots, or do they think that's a terrorist at this point? I don't know.
We are all members of the Republic.
And we are all members of the Republic.
And what I would like to add is that nothing here has been invented. They're simply using the law, and as Kelby mentioned, the Constitution. Nothing's being invented here. Nothing here is illegal. We're using the law. And this is the beauty. We're learning the law again for the first time. Generation after generation after generation of authorities have shaped the law in their favor to control the people. And the people are rising up and saying, hey, we are not your puppets. We are free men on the land. We expect to live in a free republic. We expect to have liberty, and we expect you to follow law. And since you want to shape us with it, we're going to shape you back
put you back in shape with the same law.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking they could actually hear more of what you're up to by going to the Republic site, huh? And you do a Sunday call, right?
I do a Sunday call. See, a lot of this is all about education. This is Kelby does a good job with some of the calls he's on. There was a good call last night. There'll be a good call tonight. There'll be a good call tomorrow night. And the one I narrate is on Sunday nights. And we get deep into history so that everybody has a clear, concise understanding how the Republic was formed through the eyes of our founding fathers. And right now, we are reviewing the Anti-Federalist and Federalist Papers of this week. We'll be reviewing them of March 1788 and perhaps April's as well. And the purpose of reviewing these papers is to take a look at the debate that was going on at that time when the Constitution was out to all the states for ratification. See, at this time in history, at this particular time in March, the Constitution had been ratified by the Continental Convention, or I should say, put together at the Continental Convention and released to the states for ratification. Now, during this time, a debate broke out publicly, and there was
One minute here. I stopped him dead in his tracks. Go over to Republic for the United States, get the information, .org, get the information from the call. Go over to Steve Colton and Andrea Arlington's site, ARRF. It's right there on the webpage, and it's ARRF.weebly.com. We want to thank Jason Winterstee. We want to thank LA Lifestyle. We want to thank Tad Patterson and Leo Delgado and Emergency Management Solutions. And CW has a terrific emergency kit. We want to thank Carol for being here with us today. I'm sorry that we missed you guys, Andrea and Steve. Just know that you're in our hearts and that we love you. And they're playing the theme music, so I'm going to have to hurry up and hop off the air here. Goodness gracious, we want to thank you. This program has been produced by Kirkgaard Media. Our radio partners, phoningcompany.com, Dr. James Murphy and Memoriam, drbowery.com, and doctors all spelled out. We want to thank C.W. Wright of Emergency Management Solutions. A big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Benar, Nathan Jett, and Brad Comer. Merci beaucoup to Bent Migan for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. Next week, invite a friend to listen. Remember, Sidious Altius Fortius. And do a mitzvah today, that's French, or give somebody a boost. Thanks for listening, and you can always write me at val@wakingupinamerica.com. Until next week.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all you knew, pouring through. Now your heart is...